unlike somebody else we know. Who shall go unnamed? But his initials are Joe Biden. And I'm telling you something, it's a masquerade. It's just an absolute shame that, but you know something, the way our country was set up, the founding fathers set it up, so that the leaders actually represent the condition of the nation. So when you look at the leader, don't criticize him. Get yourself before the Lord and start helping, letting the Lord correct your thinking, correct your priorities and your value systems. We've really got to, it starts with us, doesn't it? Don't join Adam with the blame game. You're no longer in Adam. Okay? Praise God. You doing good today?
Yeah.
We're here to help you, not hurt you. You got an open heart today? Are you ready to displace some of the old ways of thinking, the old ways of looking and talking and replace it with newness of life? You know, the presence of God is in you. That's the reality. Before I begin the message, though, are we on here? Okay, good. For the last 2.5 months, every single week, I've been mentioning one more reason why we can know it's God's will for everybody to be healed of everything all the time. And this is from Keith Moore's message on God's will to heal. And we're right now in number 10. I got a book here. Number 10 is, we can be sure it's God's will to heal because of the types of redemption in the Old Covenant. The types, that's short for prototypes, that God drew pictures in the Old Covenant of his will. One is his name. We talked about that. We talked about his word being medicine. But the types of redemption all through the Old Testament we see, in fact, Jesus brought one up to Nicodemus when he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, he was referring to something he was going to do. He was going to be lifted on that pole. Do you know that medical science, before it was totally corrupted and the healthcare industry was totally turned into a business, they got together with the Hippocratic oath spelling. Their symbol is a serpent on a pole. Because Jesus took our sicknesses, our diseases, our sins, and all of the root causes of disease and sickness into himself. He became sin for us who knew no sin. The serpent is a symbol of who? Slewfoot, the devil. And Jesus, when he went to that cross, listen, there was only one sin that was separating God from man at that point. In fact, well, it was Adam's treason. The rest is just fallout. When Jesus went to that cross, he went there as if he was Adam. And he called himself the Son of Man. He identified with us as the Son of Man. He went there and took our place and received all that sin, all the root causes of every malady in this world was thrown into him. And he died and took it away. Amen?
Amen.
But that whipping post had a purpose, and that was for your physical. There's always been a provision for every malady, every shortcoming of mankind has always been a provision, and Jesus became that provision. He was chastised for what we justly deserved. And we were clothed with the righteousness that was really his, that he made us become. The types of redemption. Talk about the stripes of Jesus. That he was chastised. It says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's old English and that's kind of hard to understand. But he was chastised with our what we deserved so that we could get what we didn't deserve through his sacrifice for us. Amen. Praise God. So, that's that. Now, to the message. Now, by the way, there is no condemnation on anybody. If you're experiencing health problems or health issues, there's no condemnation. I just want you to know there is a provision. Get before God and let him love you the way he wants to love you, with healing you and delivering you from that. And I'll tell you what, be open to him. He may send you to a doctor. He may send you to take medicine. He may, you know, you've got some catching up to do, but take it until you don't need it anymore. Get help where you can, because all of it, thank God for doctors. We'd be dead if it wasn't for doctors. I know I'd have been. But in fact, Lori and I, we've been on prescriptions from time to time too. But look, get help if you need it. But know this, that God, go to God first and get his direction. Amen. Let's get right into our weekly confession here this morning. Let's declare this together. Oops, four. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Amen. God's word speaks. Faith speaks. Oh, gee, don't get me going that way. I got to go this way. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Praise God. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out. How many of you ever heard of the Hoppers? If you ever heard of the Hoppers, you know what time it is all the time. It's shouting time in heaven. A sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know. My sins have been covered by the crimson flow. Powerful, powerful. There's something about gospel music that just does it. Yeah. Amen. So, are you glad to be in church today? You know, it's nice to come to church. Just as a haven sometimes, just to come back and know that, look, this world is dark, but we have a rest place here. This world is dark and we have light in here, the light of fellowship and unity and power. And the word of God gives us hope. I'm just so glad. So many Christians today are locked into the world's narrative. Mm-mm. You got to put that aside. You know, Andrew Womack shared something this week. I think it was this week. And I heard it, and it was like an alert that went off. I mean, stronger than most of the promptings or intuitions that you get from the Lord. This one was strong. And he said that a number of years ago, he was experiencing tremendous persecution and slander from so-called Christians who think they know more than anybody else and you can't tell them anything. And they were coming against him online and in articles and publications that Andrew Womack is the most dangerous man in America. And if you listen to him, well, I don't mean... he's got a twang that would knock you right back to Texas. And... So he worked tirelessly to get this stuff. He was getting scriptures together and he was refuting them all. And after, I think, like a year, the Lord finally got a hold of him and said, what are you doing? And he realized what he was doing. He realized that he was spending all this time defending himself, defending his position, using Scripture to do it, and he was just becoming just like them. You know, when you get tangled up in criticism, accusations, and you know where it's coming from. Let God be your defense. You don't have to defend yourself or explain yourself to anybody. Anytime. You don't have to do that. God wants to be your defender. You just keep on doing what you're supposed to do, which is preach the gospel, watch the signs follow that will confirm the anointing on your life. Change lives. That's what Paul said when he said, it's demonstration of the Spirit and power. It's demonstration. I live my testimony right before people, right before the world. And let the goodness that's in your life bring to nothing the foolishness of people, foolish men. It says, through well-doing, we put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Don't get tangled up in the world's narrative. Don't get tangled up in the church's narratives. You know, I think it was Oral Roberts who said, you know what? This world is just full of persecution. And sometimes it comes from the world. The rest of the time it came from his own brothers and sisters in Christ. And he just loved them anyhow. Some guy came up to him one time and says, Oral Roberts, I need you to forgive me. I used to come against you. And he explained the whole thing, and Oral Roberts looked at him and said, you know, it didn't bother me a bit. Don't let it bother you. Don't let criticism bother you. You know why? Because it's a door to something that locks you up for a long time, and it's called offense. You don't have time for that. We are in an hour now where we are literally careening towards the end of the church age. You know, Charles Capps described it as the vortex of a funnel. You know, water moves around in a funnel very slowly at the top. And as it gets down towards where it's released, it gets faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And that's where we are now. But you can't tell how fast it's going because everything's moving together. It's like, if you ask a fish, how's the water? He doesn't know. Because he doesn't nothing to compare it with. And when you're in that whirlpool, that going into the vortex, going faster and faster to the end of time. It's not just because I'm old or that I'm getting older that I don't have time to do anything. Time is being compressed. It's moving faster and faster towards the end of the age when Jesus is going to say, hey, and the trumpet's going to blow, those clouds are going to split, and we're gone. So don't worry about it. If things are going faster and faster and faster, just know that God told you about it first. I mean, it's like the vortex of a funnel. But here we are. We're pressured. We're confronted. There's a lot of uncertainties. Walls are closing in. Actions that we used to be able to take years ago, legal actions, make no sense now because they've changed through the process of public opinion. They've changed the map to go totally against justice, totally against the Constitution, totally against all of that. And they have come out with a new thing that is like a peer pressure coming on everybody that if you disagree with one thing, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, you're this, that, and the other thing, and you are wrong. I beg to differ because the Word of God hasn't changed one bit. God hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. The Jesus in you hasn't changed. And when something like that comes, I'm telling you something rises up on the inside. He says, no! You got to understand something. There is a person inside of you, and his name is Jesus. Amen. There's a person over and around you and inside of you, and his name is Holy Spirit. And together with them, one plus God is always a majority. One plus God is always a majority. You don't have anything to fear. Did you know that one woman, back in the 60s, she got prayer kicked out of school? She took the Supreme Court on through several lawsuits and everything. She misused the Constitution to hijack it into her agenda. And where 100 million plus people in this country who believed in prayer, the Lord's Prayer. They believed in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. They believed in all of this stuff. And one woman got it knocked out. And ever since that time, this country has been on a degrading path, morally, spiritually, mentally, physically. Look how many drugs there are. You can't turn on the TV, big pharma, big pharma, big pharma, everything telling you. And then you're looking at, oh, maybe that's me. Maybe I have that. Maybe I ought to go see what that's about. And then you're running with it. These are strange times. But there are severe times for the body of Christ, for the kingdom of God. Don't get involved in it. Don't get caught in the narrative. Don't get caught up in the arguments. There's enough we have to do just to keep our nose in the Word of God, like Dwight was sharing earlier. Just keep your nose in that book, because that's the answer to all of their problems. And if they try to drag you into that, start yelling. Say this: Jesus rose from the dead. I have no fear. I declared my future when I declared Jesus as my Lord. My future's bright. Amen. You know, I remember back in the days, this is apropos, I'm going to compare this to something, to the extent that we should be alert and ready no matter what happens. When I was in the insurance business doing estate planning for people, and you work with accountants and lawyers and things like that, one of the biggest problems in estate planning has nothing to do with money. Did you know that? Or assets. It has everything to do with communication lines. Because if something serious comes up, Lori and I will discuss it, we'll bring it, we'll make a decision, and it'll be done, and we'll just go on, right? But if that person is no longer there, you have a reduced ability to make a quality decision at that point in time. So I encourage people, put things in place now. Make the decisions now, and we'll review it every year. And so that if something happens and I check out or whoever checks out, everything, you don't have to decide. It's already decided and everything is done for you. You'll know where everything goes, right? That's what estate planning is all about. To put the right things in the right place for the right time. Well, it's the same spiritually. You know, if you make decisions now that if this trial comes up, here's how I'm going to respond. If this temptation comes up, here's how I'm going to respond. If this lack or this shortage comes up, presents itself, here's what's going to, something's going to jump up and the Word of God is going to come forth and God will see to my end, because He works according to His Word. And that word needs to come out of us. That word needs to be spoken. You know, Brother Hagin used to say this, that the door to the supernatural spins on two hinges, believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. God's supernatural provisions are as close as right here. And 14 inches down from that is your heart. In your heart and in your mouth. That's what needs to happen, so that when the worst thing happens, something that's not, you don't have to make a decision. The Word of God just springs up and comes forth. You feel that symptom in your body or whatever, and say, no, 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 you don't. No, you don't. I do not license you. You are not, you do not belong to me. You are an illegal alien. Get out.
Amen.
Sorry, I get lit sometimes. Well, it's better be lit than be doused. Another thing you need to be aware of is the media. They don't report news anymore. They, in fact, they have totally hijacked and abused the First Amendment of freedom of the press. They are supposed to report events, current things that are happening and so forth. That's it. That's what they're to do. Now, there's room for editorials, but the whole thing has become an editorial, twisted and twisted and twisted again into a perverted narrative to try to subvert you into their agenda. That's what it's designed to do. As long as you know that. Now, it's important to keep up on current events. Yes, but it's not. But you don't get entangled with the with their narrative. And it is so subtle. And it comes in so at such a, you know, disguised edge, making everything look good that is evil. It's no wonder we're at where we are. You don't need that stuff forcibly shoved down your throat when all they're supposed to do is present you with the facts. You know, Walter Cronkite used to stand for that. Yeah. And even though he was a liberal, I mean, he was a Democrat, he stood for a true press. It started really getting corrupted with Dan Rather and other people who wanted to force their opinion on people. Well, you see where Dan Rather is now. He no longer, he's just doing interviews with people. You see, there's only one way the devil can really do what he wants to do in your life, in your state, in your community, in your nation, and that's to get you to agree with him. And he comes in and presents us a nice picture. This is what it could be. And it never works. You see, God gives us opportunity. What man tries to do is engineer outcome. And every time they do, it just blows up right in their face. When men try, they engineer outcome. No, this country is one that provides opportunity, not engineering outcome. Leave the outcome to God. You exercise your creative abilities, what you were born to do, what you were created to do, and those are creative abilities that are birthed into you through the Word of God, and let those be creative in you, and you can create, co-create with God a good future. But when you're thinking the way the world does, when you're seeing it the way the world does, when you're agreeing with it, you will speak like it. Now the devil has it. He's got you believing in your heart and speaking his will. That's what he wants to rip out. He wants to tear you apart. Kill, steal, and destroy. That has not changed. Jesus doesn't come to do that because the devil, the only way he needs you in order for him to exist. Is this making sense to you so far? In order for him to exist as the God of this world, he needs your agreement, he needs your words, he needs your thoughts, he needs it. Jesus doesn't need anybody. He doesn't. He is self-complete in himself. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one, and there is nothing that he needs that can enhance his existence one iota. He is complete. What he comes to do, the only reason he wants your allegiance is to liberate you. That's his agenda. The Word of God will liberate you. The Word of God, James, Jesus' little brother, called the Word of God the law of liberty. Because if you continue in it and continue in it and continue in it and continue in it and continue it and keep on lifting it up and keep on walking in it, regardless of what you see or feel, keep on, keep on, keep on and continue and continue until you're free. There is freedom at the end of this thing. But you got to know it now and declare it now so that you can see the end from the beginning and walk as if it was true. Yes. And you know what? God will make it true because he watches over what? His word to perform it, to fulfill it, to make it good on your behalf. It's the law of liberty. See, Jesus said, here, 1 John chapter 4. It says, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. He who knows God hears us. He who knows not God doesn't hear us, doesn't understand us, doesn't listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and error. You know, I used to think error, okay, that's that's what they teach you in the Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church or whatever. That's what they teach. Error. Purgatory. That's not in the Bible. That's error. No, the spirit of truth and error is, error comes to just, it doesn't come out falsely like that. It comes to just twist a little bit what you have believed in the Word of God, and then twist it a little more and twist a little more until you're totally off. And you're not listening to God anymore. You're not listening to sound doctrine anymore, sound teaching anymore. You're not listening to that. You're following the narrative of the world. And it starts off with one little compromise, one little shave here. You know, it's like a tree branch. A tree branch starts off like this, but it ends up way out here, apart from the trunk. That's what you got to watch. Stay attached to the vine, Jesus said. Abide in the vine. You're the branches, but abide in the vine. There's a connection here between words and the kingdom. What you say is important. What you say should be important to you. How do we detect who is of the world and who is not of the world? By their words. They who are of the world talk of the world, and the world listens to them. He who does not know God doesn't hear us either. I love the letters of John. It just really spells it out for you. In John chapter 17, verses 14 through 16, it says this, I have given, Jesus is praying. He is now in the process of shedding his earthly ministry, and he is becoming a high priest. Before he leaves, he is entering into a whole new ministry. He says, I have given them your word. He's praying to the Father. And the world has hated them. Why? Because we speak his word. The world is going to hate you. And if the world doesn't hate you, you may be speaking the wrong words. Check yourself on that. Have you led anybody to Jesus this week? If you haven't led anybody to Jesus this week, have you at least shared the gospel? Who has shared the gospel with someone? All right. This is what we need to do. That's our job. That's what we report to him every morning for, is to, who can I share this with today? Whose life can I change now? And you've got a river of life in your heart and in your mouth that can give people hope, that can give them a life worth living, that can give them something that is real in a false, phony, fake world. I'm thinking of the masquerade in the White House right now. It is just an absolute cartoon. And, you got to have help to misunderstand this. So, have you ever heard or read the book, The King's New Clothes? Or The Emperor's New Clothes? Emperor's New Clothes. I don't have time to go into it now. If you ever get it, it's a fairy tale. But it is so graphically explicit about how stupid people can be, how gullible people can be, and they're so full of themselves that they're willing to believe anything. Anyhow, Jesus said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world. Even as I am not of this world. Assume your position with Jesus, that even as he is not of this world, neither are you. You were born from above. We call it born again. You were born of life. You were born into his kingdom. You were born into his family. You are a new creation. But we're living that new creation according to the laws of this world. And the two never mix. They're just, they never connect. We need to walk in the laws of life. The law of the Spirit of life, where there is no condemnation, where there is no legal, there's no laws against us when we're walking in the laws of life and love, joy, peace, patience. Against those things, there is no such law. When we're walking those, we're walking above the ability of the devil to put anything on us. Because they are not of, even as I am not of this world, I pray not that you should take them out of the world. You know, I always wondered that too. It's like when I was born again, why didn't God just take us out? Because he's put something in you that the world needs. You are a continuation of his ministry. That's what the book of Acts tells us. That you should not take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil. We are the wheat growing among tares. And at the end of the world, it's going to be shocking. The tares will be separated from the wheat, and the wheat will be gathered into the barn. But right now, the angels are forming them into bundles to be burned. I mean, you got all these different groups. That's all angelic intervention. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You ever think that you're outnumbered? I want you to know that we've got plenty of types of the Old Testament of people. One man, Abraham. Abraham took 318 of his men, went against the armies of four kings and defeated them. Took back Lot, his wife, his daughters, and all of Lot's people with him. And there must have been spoils, because that's when Melchizedek came and he gave him tithes of all. One man. Because Abraham knew something. Abraham knew that one man plus God is a majority. And he made the decision, let's go get him. He's my nephew. He's in covenant with me. Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers, bought by Potiphar, put in Potiphar's house. He was accused of attempted rape of Potiphar's wife, unjustly, and it wasn't true. He's thrown back into prison. The cupbearer and the baker of the Pharaoh were thrown into prison, and he looked at him and said, why are you so sad? And they told him, well, we've had a dream. Nobody can tell us the meaning of it. So he told them the meaning of it, and one request. How simple is that? Remember me before Pharaoh when you get out of here, because I'm hooked up and I'm right. I was falsely accused. Well, 2 years goes by, he forgot about it. And Joseph just going along, keeping his joy and prospering and everything he does in the prison, until Pharaoh started having dreams. And it bothered him to the point, all the magicians, all of the wise men of Egypt couldn't tell him what it meant. He said, get me the answer to this. So the cupbearer says, well, I knew a guy in prison. Remember when you threw me there? And he told me that I was going to. So he told him the whole thing. Pharaoh said, get him here. Told him the interpretation of his dreams. Joseph went from the pit to the palace in one afternoon. And he had ice water with chipped ice. He was walking in tall cotton after that. You see, Joseph knew something. All that time, he kept himself in the Lord, because he knew that one plus God is a majority. One plus God is a majority. If you feel lonely, if you feel betrayed, which he was, if you feel like you've been forgotten, if you did somebody a favor and you're getting all this, just be consistent. Just know who you are and keep walking in it, and keep walking in his promise. Keep walking in his word, because you plus God are a majority. Moses, after 40 years in exile, saw a burning bush. Could you imagine? I mean, look, he's 80 years old. And he sees this thing, and God calls him, and he sends him back to Pharaoh. And he says, let my people go. See, Moses had some, after that, after he saw the burning bush, after he saw, heard the voice of God, after he saw his pole turn into a serpent, after all of that, he went to Pharaoh because he knew that God was with him and one plus God is a majority. And he got them all to go out through that birth canal of the Red Sea into the Promised Land. It would have been if they didn't rebel against God. But he got them delivered anyhow because Moses knew. Joshua and Caleb knew that they together as one, one plus God is a majority. You know the story of Joshua and Caleb? Who does not know the story of Joshua and Caleb? Boy, you're all very informed here. Good, so I don't have to go on. How about Gideon? Gideon, just a young kid. God called him. God said to him, man of valor. He said, who are you talking to? Well, anyhow, he got Gideon, this army together of Israel, and the Midianites and the Amalekites were coming after him, and it says this, that the Midianites were like the locusts on, they just filled it so much, and the Amalekites and their camels couldn't even be numbered. That's the army that was coming against him. And so he put together all of these men, and God says, no, that's too many. That's way too many. Because you'll say that you did it. This is me. You know, that hasn't changed. But you got to be willing to give God glory and to walk in faith. He got him down to 300 men. And those 300 men, God gave him a strategy, told him what to do, and God unloaded on him. You got to know when you're doing the word of God that God's about ready to unload on you. God is about ready to explode on the scene. When you're walking in truth, when you're walking in the word, God is ready to release his power against your enemies. And your enemies are not people, they're demons, they're demonic forces. You know, but the thing is, God knows what they're doing before they even do it. He knows their plan, their plot before they even think of it. And he equips us. Gideon went from a nobody to a hero of faith. And the cry throughout Israel was the sword of the Lord. And Gideon. They were giving God glory because Gideon was ready to give God glory. Esther, a peasant girl. See, Gideon knew something. What did he know? One plus God is a majority. What did Joseph know? One plus God is a majority. What did Moses know? One plus God is a majority. Hi! What did Daniel know? One plus God is a majority. Esther, shoo, boy, you think of this. Her people, the annihilation of her people was coming up. She fasted and prayed, and she did what no other woman was allowed to do in the entire Persian kingdom. She went into the king, unannounced, with all his princes right there, which was a death sentence. Can you see Jesus in that? She walked in there before him, and he received her. Jesus, filled with sin, left and rose from the dead and walked into that throne room, poured his blood out on that mercy seat. And he backed out and he left the room. The censer of God pointed to him. And from that time on, everything that we have to do with is Jesus. Esther. See, what did Esther know? She knew something. What did she know? What do you know next time you come into a trial? See, me, with God, is a majority. How do you know you're with God? How do you know you're doing what God wants you to do? When you're doing the word. You do the word. Do the word. And then the word will work for you. You do the word, The word will work. Why? Because it's alive. It is filled with the life of God. It is filled with the power of God. God himself is in that word. His DNA is in the devil knows that name. The devil knows that word. He wants to see if you believe it. Do you believe it today? Do you believe God? Do you believe that you plus God are a majority? Amen. That you have a voice in heaven and in the earth? That you have a standing in heaven and in the earth equal to that of Jesus? You are a joint heir, not a sub heir. You're a joint heir. Joint heir. Look at yourself in the mirror. Do you see Jesus? It's hard for me to see Jesus in there when I look in the mirror. And I see everything, all the flaws. See, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You're not seeing who you really are when you look in the mirror. Are you? Can we come up with that graphic? Let's look at this. The last one. Yep. That cat's looking in the mirror. Who does he see? I love that. And look at the lion's eyes. Do you see the love of God in those eyes? Love that cannot be defeated. Love that cannot change. Love that is constant. Do you see faith in those eyes? I see faith in those eyes. I see a God who says, I can do all things through you if you let me do them through you. You can do all things through me if you walk in my word. See, there's peace in the lion's face too. He's not bothered by anything, is he? Does a bird have fear of heights? Is a fish afraid of water? Everything that you need is possible with him. Look in the mirror and let this tell you who you are. Because you plus this is a majority. You plus this can do all things. You plus this, there is nothing impossible. This is written. It cannot change. This is covenant backed by blood, backed by the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. That established something for you that the devil cannot. Even the message, the gospel, is something that he shrinks back from, because the message is just as powerful as the event of the resurrection, and it hasn't changed because God is in it. Amen. Praise God. Did you get anything out of that today? Yes. If you didn't, I'm glad I came. Yeah, Jesus is alive. Jesus, don't look at this nation and say, oh, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. What you declare with your mouth in faith is going to happen. When you pray for this nation, in fact, here, pray for the nation. Pray for your House of Representatives. Pray for the Supreme Court. Pray that God's man will be elected next year. Pray that our enemies will not triumph over us. Pray that the election integrity will be established and that the laws of our electoral system that have been in place for over a century will remain intact, and that our elections will truly be the choice of America's citizens and not illegal aliens. Amen. Pray for the pastors of this nation to stand up and boldly and put together another black robe regiment. That will unite this nation on its deepest spiritual roots and bring together what God wants. We need to be in agreement. We need to be in unity, not fighting, not getting our mind twisted up with the world's narrative, not going along with accusations, but bringing it all together and walking in truth. 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 God doesn't deal in shades of truth. Truth is not, in fact, the word, it says the wisdom of God. And Jesus called, in Luke 11:49, Jesus called the wisdom of God, the word of God. called the Word of God, the Wisdom of God. They're interchangeable. And he said that the wisdom of God, the Word of God is first pure. The wisdom, God's Word is pure. Truth is pure. Peaceable. Easily entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits. Let's do that. Amen? Praise God. Father, Lord, we just commit this word to your keeping, that you will bring it to life, that we will come before you and make decisions now so that when the times of trial, persecution, affliction, temptation, and all the cares of this life, when they present themselves, that we will rise up and have those decisions made, that the right word will come at the right time, and that we will sit in your lap because we are overcomers. We see the end from the beginning, that we will not quit. We will stand in truth. And we'll thank you, Father, that with you, all things are possible, and that we can stand in truth, being equipped and empowered by your word, by your spirit, and by your presence. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for